This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number. 888-729-3776. And that is, of course, the Dr. Pepper call-in line. You can be part of Barton Hahn Nation. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up. The fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. B Sizzle, how we doing, man?
Maintaining, man. New York is winning, man. Right now, the Jets hold the fourth and the Giants hold the seventh pick. We are winning the offseason already. We're winning the offseason in the middle of the season.
You look at you being all optimistic, finding ways to make it relevant. Here's the thing that I say, now before we get into the whole Bucks thing, and also we got the LeBron situation too. We know he'll miss tonight's game at Madison Square Garden with one game suspension. Isaiah Stewart got two games. Do you think that was the right call by the NBA? We'll get your calls on that in a moment. But the thing, if you're the New York Football Giants, if you are the NFL as well, that's a flagship franchise, man. Whether you like it or not, it's a brand. And it is reached that point of apathy. I do not hear outrage from the majority of their fan base. I don't hear frustration. I just feel apathy from Giants fans. That, to me, Bart, is the worst kind of reaction you can get. When you have, like, the media's trying to find things, angles are coming after. Obviously, Jason Garrett, you knew that was coming. But, damn, the worst thing you could have for one of your flagship brand name franchises is a fan base that is pretty much given up. Like, we don't even have floats going down Broadway in New York City for Thanksgiving, and the Giants are done. And, of course, as we know, the Jets season is also done. That's a bad place to be right now for a franchise like the Giants, once proud.
That is, and it's a shame. And that's the state of New York sports for the long time. You know what I mean? Yep. Now you look at what Brooklyn is doing. You hope that maybe they'll have a chance. At least they've been to the postseason. The Knicks look like they're not the team that we thought they were going to be, but they'll figure it out, and they'll be in the postseason. The Yankees, the Rangers, the Islanders. But, you know, the main sports, you know, this still is, to me, I understand that the Knicks run the town, but right after that it's the Giants. And I don't know.
It's the Yankees. I see, to me, if I was going to power rank – well, you know, your big market, it's Yankees, Giants, Knicks. And you've got Yankee fans are frustrated, and they're about to have a lockout in a couple of weeks. So the hot stove is going to be turned off quickly. The Giants are where they are, and they've been there for how – I mean, this is, what, 6 years now? Yeah, they won't be a playoff team? And then the Knicks, you know, we'll see what this season becomes. It's still early, but they have been a bit of a disappointment as well.
And listen, it brings up some questions because, to me, Saquon didn't look special. He didn't look generational. I understand that he's coming back from a – the only person that looked special out there was Kadarius Toney.
Man, does he look something. He jumps off the page.
Yeah, he's the only one out there that looks special. I mean, you got Evan Ingram. Like, I don't know who is even going to be on this team next year, right? And now you see that they can't really get to the passer. I mean, you got Ojulari. But Leonard Williams isn't the same player that he was last year, and I don't know if it's because they're primarily using him inside. Last year when he was balling and got 13 and a half sacks, he was the outside defensive end. And remember at one point, you know, Dexter Lawrence was a early high first round draft pick. He doesn't pop off the page. You don't even look at Lawrence like most people in the league look at Quinnen Williams. But he was supposed to be just as dominant. And he's kind of like a meh, like kind of like a non-factor. So it's like, well, who do you hold accountable for this? Do you hold Joe Judge for this? Because then his message is start. Listen, Joe Judge, when I look at Joe Judge up there, it reminds me of looking at Baker Mayfield talking to the Cleveland media. It's uncomfortable. It's almost like he's agitated. And he's running out of stuff to say. You know what I mean? You know when you run out of stuff to say, you just be like, all right, man, your mama. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like Kevin Durant yesterday when people were coming at him about how ashy his ankles was. I don't know how they got that little 5 millimeters of ash. They were able to blow that up and see that this dude was ashy when he's wearing high socks, high top shoes, and tights.
He's got the scuba gear on, right?
Yeah, but what did he say? He's like, listen, I'm almost ready to pull out that I'm rich card to shut y'all up. Like, so I don't know what Joe Judge has to shut up. Like, because you listen to his press conference and he's kind of just you know, bloviating. He's just talking. Like, you know, like he don't believe half of it. It's incoherent. It's just all over the place. You know, it's not our job. The fans, they can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. It's not their responsibility to have patience. Like, man, they've had beyond patience. I mean,
that's where it begins. That's the beginning of the end is always when the player or the coach starts taking on the criticism of the fans, like Baker did. We'll get to that later in the show. Like Joe Judge did. We'll also get to that as well. Like when you're dealing with – when you're hearing from people, from players and coaches, and they're talking about the fans, that's when you know. That's the beginning of the end. There's never – it's really hard to recover from that, and that tells you – that they are both very sensitive to their situations and the criticism they're getting. And that's certainly part of the problem.
Yeah, I'll go that blame. You know who they're going to blame? They're going to blame Jason Garrett, because that's the only person he can fire, because he hired 85 coaches last year. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, let's fire Jason Garrett because he didn't want him
to begin with. That was forced on him. And you know, he certainly was making it clear who the scapegoat was yesterday with the offense that just looked anemic against the Bucks, and the Bucks getting a win they really needed badly and really didn't have to try too hard to get. But they got it 30-10, and it was an embarrassing game on Monday Night Football with the Manning cast and Bill Parcells and Eli, all this Giant talk on there, and that got tired real quick. But you know what? Before we do get deeper into the Giants and the Joe Judge stuff, I'm going to have Jeff Saturday joining us at the bottom of the hour to give us his take on that and all things NFL. Let's just go to the headline of LeBron James here, Bart, because we did talk about it yesterday. We talked about what we think the league would do. And I told you there was this sentiment that maybe the flagrant two, the fine, the ejection would have been enough, because he didn't do much other than, of course, the fist that started everything. But he didn't – he walked away from it fast. And maybe the league would see that
Did you see Isaiah Simmons? You damn right he walked away from it fast. You can see that. It was something special in his eyes.
It was something special. He didn't want that smoke. But you do see him, though, in the first moment, when Stewart went to him, LeBron went to him, too, and they got face-to-face. And so the league saw that as an escalator, and they gave him the one-game suspension. So he's now out for tonight's game, nationally televised, TNT, at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks. It's the second straight time. So two times in the calendar year of 2021 that LeBron James will miss a game at Madison Square Garden. It's one of his favorite places to play.
Yep.
And he's not going to be in the building for this game because he is suspended. And his team certainly needs him by the way they've been playing. They were losing the game to the Pistons, by the way.
Yeah,
they were losing that game. So with that in mind, the question is, did they get it right? Let's first hear from Jeff Van Gundy, who says, yeah, they got it right.
Obviously, James instigated it with his blow that drew blood. But I think the league made the appropriate call because of Isaiah Stewart continuing to come back and try to reignite the fracas. So I agree with how they determined. I thought both guys deserved to be suspended. But I'll tell you one thing. There's not going to be too many people be messing with Isaiah Stewart going forward. Because no matter what the Lakers players said, they wanted no part of that Brahma Bull. At all. Like, that guy was enraged, and he is big and strong, and he's from Rochester, New York. So that guy, he's a great guy too, but man, he was heated.
And by the way, Van Gundy from the same area.
Right. So that's why he wanted to drop.
You would point that out. Only tough people come from that part of upstate New York. But you know what, though? Our good friend Jay Williams, he disagreed. He says on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max that the NBA got it wrong. Listen to this.
You may not have liked the fact that Isaiah Stewart was trying to get to LeBron James. If you ever gotten bowed in the face during a game, which I have, you kind of go through this experience where you get knocked down and you're angry. You might get up. But when you start seeing blood, there's kind of rage there. You're like,
there's a reason people
bleeding?
Say he saw red.
Yes,
yeah,
I'm bleeding.
He literally saw red. Yeah.
So you may not have liked the way Isaiah Stewart tried to get at LeBron James. But once again, it was him and his teammates. He was trying to get through his teammates, which he never got through his teammates. So whatever that example was, I said, LeBron James, if you give him one game, then fine. Isaiah Stewart, give him no games. I just thought it sets the example that LeBron James, hey, you can make a ill-advised play and we're going to reprimand you. But then, hey, this kid reacted the wrong way, even though he didn't come in contact with anybody. And we're going to give him 2-game suspension. I thought it was a missed opportunity by the NBA.
Okay, when I saw the headlines, Jay Will thinks the NBA got it wrong, I thought he was speaking about because LeBron James got suspended and the fact that they were going against the TNT game, national game. I was like, damn, that LeBron loves to play in the Garden. What greater punishment for what he did? Because if LeBron James was looking at him and threw a punch and it drew blood like that, it would be a whole nother thing. But the fact – it doesn't change the fact that he threw a punch, whether he saw where he was hitting his target or not. He threw his punch. If his hand was open, it would have been something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the closed fist. Yeah.
It's meant to hurt wherever it hits, especially somebody as big and strong as LeBron, you know what I mean, throwing his arm back like that.
Yeah, that was the part. That and then him getting him in his face as well. Look, now he doesn't play in this game tonight. The Lakers need him. Will they need him to beat the Knicks?
Do they really need him?
Well, yes. Come on.
This is like a pillow fight, man, of late. Like, if the Lakers just struggle with the Pistons and the Knicks struggle with the Rockets, yeah. The Knicks struggle with the Rockets, this should be a great pillow fight.
TNT's going to want to flex this one. The only thing that you have are the name brands. You have the Knicks and the Lakers, and you'll get those two markets watching. But I don't – I mean, I want to know this. As a Laker fan, of course you're mad. As a Knicks fan, are you mad? Like, are you happy that he's not playing? Or are you like, nah, I want to see LeBron at the Garden. It's his only – like, we only get to see him once a year now. And we haven't seen him in over a year.
The last time
he played at the Garden was November. No, I'm sorry. March of – no, it was January of 20. That's what it is. January of 20. So we're almost a full year since we've seen him in Madison Square Garden, which is a rarity.
Because
you get to see him once a year. So if you're a Knicks fan, so one time a year you could see LeBron, you got tickets to the game.
Nah.
Are you disappointed or are you like, no. We need all the help we can get right now. I'm happy he's not playing. That's what I want to know. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What about you, Bart? Would you be disappointed because the king, you know, he's not playing or no?
He's your king, not my king.
Oh, okay.
Now, if this was Steph Curry, then that'd be something different. But I don't care about LeBrick.
Yeah, what am I saying? It's almost 2 years. That's right. January of 20. I keep forgetting we're almost at the end of 21 already.
Can I do a production meeting over the phone?
Go ahead. What are we doing?
John, I need my read for 12:20, man.
I got you. I'm covering you today.
I'm looking through. I got you. All right.
I got you. Don't worry about that. I'm going to handle that kind of stuff today. You are doing a lot of work these days, especially the charity work that you're doing down in Baltimore. So I figured, you know how we always say footsteps?
Footprints.
That's what it is. Footprints, that beautiful poem. That's what we're doing today. I'm going to take care of you on that one. But I'm just curious. I'm curious of what the reaction would be from fans because the league had to react in some way. They do. They suspend him for a game. And are you as a fan like, oh, man, you know, I was looking for – maybe you even bought these tickets from someone else thinking I want to see LeBron and the Lakers at the Garden, and now you're not. You're going to see Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you still got two stars. You still got two Hall of Famers to watch.
Fair. All right, just want to know. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll talk more about this with Kendrick Perkins, who's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Jeff, Saturday at the bottom of the hour. And let's get to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because, Bart, as you mentioned, the Giants last night were just what they've been all season.
But this is what we were waiting for, right? This is what we were waiting for. Oh, wait till Saquon come back. Looked mm-hmm. slow, and he was getting tackled by dudes that shouldn't be able to tackle Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, come on, man. Did the corner just take down Thunder Thighs?
Yeah.
It's like,
He doesn't look the same. Maybe the injury is the big part of it. I don't know. But, man, he does not look the same.
They look like he hurt the ankle again.
But wait. And this goes back. I know this. This is what I don't like. When we talk about stuff like this and it becomes, oh, you're hating. And it's like, no. It's just when you look at the logic and the common sense of when you have a draft and you tell yourself, do you really take a running back who has the expiration date is on them the minute they step in the league? They have a short shelf life. They just do. They can't ever be the most important. Well, I shouldn't say that. They can be like Derrick Henry. But to make them
Derrick Henry was a second round pick.
That's where I was getting. The draft is such a valuable thing in rebuilding your franchise that when you make that a priority and say, well, he's technically the most talented player in the draft. That's true, but at number two, that's not where you're getting value. And that you're going to keep coming back to that and keep saying to yourself, was that the right play for the Giants? And you are looking back 4 years later and saying, clearly, no, it wasn't. Right? Clearly, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But that's not even the biggest problem for the Giants right now. The biggest problem right now is what's running this franchise and this offense. And Joe Judge is frustrated beyond, and I think every fan is too. He is frustrated with the fact that the offense continues to be boring and anemic. And Joe Judge talked about the offensive struggles last night, and you could definitely tell he was subtexting someone.
We got to do a better job scoring points. I know it sounds pretty obvious and to the point with it, but I'm going to keep it just very blunt on that right there. We got to do a better job putting our players in position to make plays. We have too many good players. You know, we got to put them in a better position to capitalize on it. That's it. We got to make sure, you know, we sit down tomorrow as a coaching staff and understand how we got to play this game and give our players a chance to make plays. So in reference to any kind of body language or anything at the end of the game, I'll handle the corrections we got to make. All right. But as a player, there's some things I'd be frustrated too with as well.
Who do you think he's talking about there?
Man, he's throwing Jason Garrett. He ain't throwing Patrick Graham under the bus because that defense looked like they can't get to the passer. I mean, they got Tom Brady feeling good. He had invisible juice. Did you see him with the most – this is the most athletic I've ever seen Tom Brady even attempt. He's like, ain't nobody going to hit me. He jumped over somebody.
Yeah, he hurdled someone.
Hit a little juke, TV then 12. Slid. Then
I better get on that, man. I better get on TB12 if he's jumping over people. Yeah,
and then slid. We ain't seen Tom Brady jump since the combine. And all of a sudden, dude, he's like, man, these are the Giants. We good? Like, what? Like, nobody hit him with nothing.
But the Giants, like, lead the league in field goals because they can never score in the red zone. Like, never. I know they've had injuries, but you can hear this coach. Like, you can hear him. He's like, we have got to be better. And he's just – when he says, as coaches, who's he talking about?
Listen, he's talking to Jason Garrett, and he's pointing the finger because he knows he has to fire somebody. Instead of, you know, it'll be something like this. Well, you know, both sides decided to part ways. It wasn't a good fit, right? They'll say that, right? Yep. And that'll buy him another year. Who knows if Gettleman shouldn't get another year? But then now it's like, well, you know, we had a bad offense coordinator. I didn't want to hire. You know, they forced him on me because he had head coaching experience. Tell me this: what's Joe Judge's specialty? Because he can't help with anything.
Well, he's a special teams guy. Like, he's not going to do that. Yeah. He's going to be an overseer.
What I'm saying is,
all right,
usually when you hire a head coach and a certain side of the ball gets bad, that coach has a side of the ball. If Salah, if the Jets get, you know, start struggling, you don't think Salah has the ability to take over the defense? Right. If Andy Reid offense starts struggling, right, you don't think he has the ability. So you got a coach that's –
But you had John Harbaugh.
Yeah, I did.
His specialty was special teams. So how does he do it?
Well, you got to be, you know, they gave him Rex Ryan, who was a head coach candidate at the time.
Your answer is this: Harbaugh was a quarterback.
No, his brother was.
Well, they both were. Were they both quarterbacks?
Yeah, but if he
the
was a quarterback,
was too. Everybody's
but
a quarterback.
But if he was a quarterback, he wasn't a good quarterback. I mean, we never heard of him. I don't even know what college that dude played for.
All right, but whole family, like the family of quarterbacks and athletes, like, but, they know football.
Well, he inherited a team that was ready to go, so that's different. He never had to have that discussion, right? But Joe Judge is a special team guy. I don't know what his expertise is. He coached the tight ends and stuff like that. He's a guy that's never coached a position, never coordinated a position.
He's never been a head coach in his life anywhere at any level. That's
He's never coordinated offensive defense either.
But he does talk a lot. Here's my redeeming thing about Joe Judge. I know we're always trying to find what's wrong with somebody. I like to find what's right in these situations. What I have always liked about Judge, something he's prioritized, is he says it's about teaching. So when he calls out coaches because he knows the players are frustrated, I have to respect that because he's acknowledging we got a problem teaching. And he prioritizes teaching. Sorry. We're not teaching right. We've got to get better at it, and maybe we got to get better teachers.
He's overseeing that part,
not just the players. He's overseeing his coaching staff too, and he's holding them accountable. So I have to at least respect that.
But I'm sorry. What does he teach? Other than accountability and values.
Well, why can't he be the principal?
No, what I'm saying is, what does he teach? But at the end of the day, the principal used to be a teacher, or he used to be a counselor. So they can help out in the teaching process. What is he teaching? He has the ability to teach nothing.
Okay. All right, so you see that as the issue.
No, what I'm saying is if I'm a GM coming in, I'm not keeping Joe Judge. There's too many
You can't. If you're getting rid of the GM, you have to clean house and get rid of everybody. And I'm telling you right now, I've said it a million times, Lewis Riddick is your guy, Giants. He is your guy. Let's leave it right there, Bart, because we do have Jeff Saturday coming up. And by the way, that was all Straight Talk, right? By Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. What we're going to do, though, is we'll ask Jeff if he thinks it's time for the Giants to blow it all up. We also have to ask him about what we saw from the Bucks last night. Was this enough to make you believe that they are back as a team and they could win the NFC, or is it always about the opponent? We'll get to all that coming up. We do have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But right now, I want to tell you about SelectQuote, because it's the kickoff to the holidays with Thanksgiving this week. And this time of year always makes me extra thankful, of course, especially for my family. Now is the perfect time to protect that beautiful family. So if you don't yet have life insurance, listen up, because just a couple minutes out of your day can make a big difference. You don't want just any company for your life insurance. You need a pro. You need SelectQuote. For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. So check this out. SelectQuote found a 40-year-old guy with high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's right, $19 a month. Seriously. That's nothing to be able to protect your family. Plus, quotes at SelectQuote are free and take only minutes. So do me a favor. Before the holidays get crazy, take a couple minutes and get your free quote. Call 800-960-3030. That's 800-960-3030. Or just go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Full details on sample policy and carrier ratings at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Price could vary by health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
All right, we already are going to have a problem here. Like, it's already starting. We're not, like, I thought we would do this tomorrow.
I'm just saying.
But apparently not.
I never understood.
Before we get to all this, I got to tell you to step up your creativity, Bart. Do it right now during Dell's Black Friday event with savings up to $400 off, including deals on the latest PCs with Intel Core processors, shop laptops, monitors, and more, plus free shipping. Call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
Do they have the Keurig or coffee makers with pumpkin spice coffee?
Who?
Artificial. Dell? Oh, I just thought it was appliances.
No.
You could order one on your Dell computer.
We're just looking for computers. You could order one that way. Let's bring in Jeff Saturday, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Jeff is from the South, so I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask him anyway because I feel like, Jeff, as we're getting towards Thanksgiving, and the 3 days I spent back in the morning show last week, I found that we still have major division here at ESPN. And it's something I think I'm trying to bring people together, and I'm having a hard time with this. And the issue is pumpkin pie. It seems to really divide people. So I need to know what side you're on. Thanksgiving, are you having a slice, or are you saying, no, I don't eat that?
I'm having a slice. There ain't no doubt. I'm going to have a big old scoop of some vanilla ice cream right on there. And listen, it's not. I'm not saying it's my favorite. No. Like, pecan pie, that's my step up. If you throw some chocolate chips in a pecan pie, it's even better. But I will crush down on some pumpkin pie as well.
Okay, so the division is pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie. You want some of them patty pies? You want some of them patty pies from Patty LaBelle?
Man, come on. See, that's the hard part. You got an offensive lineman up here talking about eating some sweets, bro. I'm in. Like, you're gonna have a hard sell for me not to try some type of dessert at Thanksgiving. So, everybody's going to win in this conversation.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And that's why I said, I don't, like, when I'm told I have to choose, I'm like, why? Why do I have to choose?
Yeah.
Listen,
dessert eater.
You've eaten sweet potato pie, right? You've eaten a sweet potato. I've never eaten the inside of a pumpkin. I've never eaten the inside of a pumpkin. So I don't understand where the deliciousness comes from in the pumpkin pie. Well, I'm thinking it's some vanilla extract or some type of other artificial flavors in there, because I know that a sweet potato is sweet when I just eat it. Like, what are you telling me that you grind? You telling
me
that?
Come on now, Bart. It ain't that sweet, dog. You know they throw some sugar up in that thing the same way they did that pumpkin pie. It ain't all just all natural, baby. But, I mean, we putting some sweetener up in it, make that thing delicious.
Some vanilla extract, some nutmeg, some cinnamon. But I'm trying to say, where does it come from? Like, what I'm talking about, where does the orange come from? When you scrape the inside of a pumpkin.
Are you really asking that question?
It's like, it's the strings and stuff. Like, I've never, have you ever cut you've cut a pumpkin up. The inside, when you take the guts out, it's horrible. It looks horrendous. I don't want to eat that.
Nah, you confused, man. You confused. They put sugar up in it. That's why you eat it. They make that thing delicious.
But where does the filling come from, Jeffrey? Jeff.
They create magnificent masterpieces out of things that we would not think would be good.
I've been on this earth before.
I don't know how to make any of it. I do know I can sit and partake in it and enjoy it.
I've been on this earth for 40 years. I have no idea where the filling and the color comes from in pumpkin pie.
Are you
saying they slice the pumpkin up and they put it in a blender? Because that's what you do with the yams. You take sweet potato and you scoop it.
You just a little scoopage.
Scoop what? The pumpkin seeds?
When you do the nutmeg and you do a little cinnamon. Like, it just gets a little darker.
I'm confused.
That's how we do it.
Okay, all right.
Well, you're going to get a homemade pumpkin pie.
I want to know where the pumpkin comes from. That's all I want to know. I want to know where the filling comes from.
Some things you just need to have faith.
Is it filler?
It's the mystery that makes it delicious.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, Jeff, all right, let's get to football here.
I'm gonna cut Jeff a slice of a pumpkin and just say, here, eat this pumpkin. I bet you're going to say,
it doesn't work. It doesn't quite work that way. But anyways, let's digress. are the Giants, Jeff, in a place that it's, all right, it's time to blow it up? I've always said the apathy is the biggest concern for any franchise, especially a flagship one. And when you reach a point where even your fan base is sort of like, man, it's been like 6 years. I've had enough of this. You know, like, no one cares enough to be mad or outraged anymore. It just feels like it's time.
Yeah, I tell you, man, yesterday was very disappointing. Coming off a bye week, the offensive performance. And I would say that probably the greatest indictment on the Giants right now is the Philadelphia Eagles' success with a guy that they draft in the second round, bringing a brand new head coach, kind of recreate a new offense completely around what he does effectively well, and are absolutely catching fire. And you're looking at the Giants, who draft the second pick overall. They have good skill guys on the outside. Not great, but good. They got Daniel Jones, who was, what, the sixth pick in the draft. And you're saying they can't get better? Like, that's the hardest part. So I would say, as you look at it from an organizational perspective, that's the part that's going to be the hardest thing for fans to deal with, is that, wait a minute, we got the Eagles winning during a, quote, rebuild situation, and we were supposed to be good this year, and we can't find a win. That's going to push the fan base, to cry for some change.
I know they picked up Saquon's option. Was that looking at him yesterday, was that a good thing to pick up his option? And, you know, do you trust Gettleman? Two-part question. Do you trust Gettleman – with these two picks that seem to be getting better and better? Both of them look like they're top 10 picks right now.
Right, and that's the biggest issue for him, right, is that when you look at his kind of draft, I guess, grades, for lack of a better term, it's not like he's just knocking them out of the park. And so, you know, you have Barkley, who's had a hard time staying on the field, staying healthy. His offensive line picks have not turned out to be what he expected or wanted, or played to the level that, you know, others expect in those positions. Daniel Jones is still you know, out in no man's land. We don't know what he is yet. Is he good enough to carry a franchise? Any, he shows flashes, but doesn't. And so it would be very hard for me as an owner to trust we're going to continue moving in this direction with what could potentially be, because again, you're kind of in it. You're kind of in an arms race with the Eagles, right? They're going to have their picks. You're going to have yours. You see the Cowboys, the kind of direction they've made this last year. Like, it's time to put up and make some things happen. It would be hard for where the record is, and unless they just catch fire this last part of the season and you see them as a team put it together, it would be a hard thing for me to trust.
Jeff Saturday joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So the Packers had been rolling. That was quite a finish, though, in Minnesota. But they walk out of that game or limp out of that game with Aaron Rodgers with this toe issue, but also losing Jenkins, who did a fantastic job moving from guard to tackle for Bakhtiari. And he had been so good this year. They lose him for the season with an ACL, with Bakhtiari still not ready to come back yet. Is it reason to sound the alarm in Green Bay?
Absolutely. This is massive. And this is going to go under the radar because it's an offensive lineman. But right, when you think of a guy who really stepped in for Bakhtiari and has played, he was a Pro Bowl left guard last year. He has played extremely well out there. I think they're number three in pass. In pass win rate from an offensive line perspective, and I think they're top, maybe six, and even run. So he has been equally valuable being out there at left tackle. When Bakhtiari comes back, it would be a natural kickback for him inside, which would solidify that pocket when you have a quarterback who's got a bum toe. But the other part that people don't realize is, if anybody on the line would have went down, and that includes center, he can be the first guy. Like, he can play all five, and he's effective at all five. There are very few guys who can do that. And for a guy to be able to move effortlessly throughout that offensive line and be successful at all five positions, that's a massive loss. And especially when you talk about, you know, rosters and numbers as you progress through the season and kind of the rate of attrition that happens, having a guy who can do that, you can't put enough value on him. So a huge loss for the Packers. And honestly, I love watching the kid. Man, he's a great player. He's a great guy. So you hate it for him, man. Praying for him to get back quick. But it is a significant loss for the Packers.
Yeah, something certainly to keep an eye on. There's no doubt about it.
I tell you what, I'm happy that this is only his third year and not his fourth year, because now he still has the opportunity to get back, because with what he's been able to do, he's proved that he's just as valuable and just as dominant as Bakhtiari, which means that Bakhtiari is the second highest paid player by like less than $10 to Trent Williams. So that means they're going to have to pay this kid massive. I hate to see guys on their contract year get injuries and the team able to take advantage of it.
He should be able to come back off of this. Jeff, we got to leave it right there, but we have you marked down as Team Pumpkin Pie. That's what it's all about. Have a great Thanksgiving.
So you know it, baby. You know it. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you, man. Have a great time with family and friends.
Likewise.
All the best. One of the best guys we have here at ESPN, Jeff Saturday. All right, ESPN Radio.
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is a pumpkin pie, man.
Progressive Insurance. We'll look it up during the break. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Coming up, have we entered the beginning of the end stage, as we mentioned earlier, of the Baker Mayfield era in Cleveland? Once you start going after the fans, yeah, that's when it's probably time. We'll get into that and your calls next. But I want to tell you that 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back. Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. You know, Bart, as we get later in the season in the NFL, you start to see the teams that might be trending now towards, okay, we know changes that we need to make, and we've got to start preparing to make them and deciding where you want to go. You start planning for the draft and everything else. We're not quite into December yet, but we're, you know, again, right before Thanksgiving. So this is where it starts to get real in the NFL, where the teams that know they have a shot, they lock in, and the teams that know they're done, they start to head in a different direction. With that in mind, let's think about this. We have starters and we have backups in the NFL right now at the quarterback position. We know that's the position of value. We always see turnover at some of these positions. We saw a lot of turnover the last 2 years at these positions because a lot of the great players have retired. When you think about current quarterbacks, some starting, some that maybe are backups but had started before in their careers, let's see which ones we think could be somewhere else with another team next season. Let's begin with an obvious one, Aaron Rodgers. Do you think he stays in Green Bay?
I don't. I think he goes where he won his choices last year. I think he kicks Teddy Bridgewater out of town.
So Denver, it still is going to be. That was popular last summer.
For multiple quarterbacks that wanted to go to Denver.
Yeah, yeah, especially with that defense. How about Russell Wilson, another brand name that, you know, had some concerns this offseason as well about the direction of Seattle, then decided to stay or at least backed off his trade request.
Right.
Does he revisit that now, especially if Pete Carroll sounds like he's also getting
He sounds burnt out. He sounds burnt out. And there's nobody on that staff. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of players, a coach from that staff has left and gone to other teams and been head coaches at other teams and been coordinators at other teams. There's nobody there that's left that I think Russell Wilson trusts. So I think, you know, Pete Carroll is already a man of a certain age. So I think that, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, understands that it's time to get out of Dodge. You look at Russell Wilson potentially to Miami. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson potentially to Pittsburgh Steelers. Wilson potentially to New Orleans.
Is Pittsburgh going to be that destination team with Ben Roethlisberger kind of at that point where you feel like and where they're going, where you want to see if Tomlin can at least stay at, you know, at or stay above 500? There's not going to be a 500 this year because
they're still very talented. They're still very talented.
I know.
Clay Chasepool, Johnson, Deontay Johnson, they still have Najee Harris.
They feel like a destination team, though, don't they?
It is. That is a legacy spot, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're replacing a Hall of Fame quarterback, but if you're a Hall of Fame quarterback yourself, you're not afraid of that.
Do you think out of these two young quarterbacks, both or one will be somewhere else next year? Daniel Jones, Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua's definitely out of there, but I think Tua's out of there maybe with a trade. But when you look at what's going on in Philly, Jalen Hurts is going to stay there, but I think Tua's out of there, and they're going to put all their money into trying to dig into the Deshaun Watson. Yep, the Deshaun Watson is still very much alive.
Yeah, and a backup to watch that could end up somewhere as a starter again next year?
Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah, he should get a chance somewhere. I mean, Marcus Mariota got hurt again in Oakland, but this is 2 years where we haven't heard or seen him. Mm-hmm. I think maybe him as well will get another opportunity. Feel bad for Jameis Winston as he gets injured on the year where he's trying to get another opportunity to be a starter.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he'll still be in the plans for the coming season. All right, we have more coming up in 10 seconds. Bart Hunt.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Back with you, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We thank Jeff Saturday for joining us previously. Kendrick Perkins coming up in about 12 minutes. In the meantime, it's Making Moves. How about this move by Baker Mayfield? So, didn't talk, and then when he does talk, boy, does he, as he takes on the Browns fans, Browns media. Whenever you do this, that's pretty much the beginning of the end. You know what? I like Baker personally, so this isn't like, again, people always say you hate. I hate that word. We talk about, though, these moments. If you've covered sports as long as I have, you see them happen in many different markets. You've been an athlete long enough to know also you've seen it yourself. When a player or a coach starts talking and reacting to media criticism.
Like the Mets, right?
Well, yeah, you saw that.
How did that turn out?
Right. Yeah, they too, the same thing. You get booed by your fans and you start reacting to it. Like, when do you get to a point as an athlete where you go, you know what? I'm playing like crap. I suck. I don't blame them. I'd be booing me too. Like, you do that, and I'm telling you, it appeals to fans because they're like, all right, he gets it. But when Baker says, no one's more critical of me than myself, and I know when I'm playing poorly, and that's between me and my teammates, man, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you sound like a petulant kid, and I know you're not, Baker. Like, don't say dumb things like that. That's another one of those moments, Bart, where if I'm the PR guy, I facepalm. Like, yeah. Oh, man, you just made it harder for yourself. You're not sticking up for yourself. You're not talking tough. Nobody looks at it and says, wow, he's a tough guy. He's taking on the fans, and he's taking on the booing. No, they're
the
going,
ones that he
are
love,
you dumb?
Right?
Are you playing this game this way? Like, do you have any game at all?
Yo, that was like, the Lions. That was the Lions they were struggling with, by the way. That was the Lions that they had a nail-biter with. That was the Lions.
Man, you're going to get booed, man. It's just that's what happens when you aren't living up to expectations, which, of course, going into the season, the expectations were very high.
And what did I say?
And you said they weren't going to be good.
I said
weren't going to make the playoffs, and people thought you were crazy. And Bart Stradamus, once again,
you know what I'm saying? We stay up. We stay winning. Who didn't listen? Don't call Dionne Warwick. Call Bart Stradamus. I'll tell you exactly what it is. Now look where they find themselves. They find themselves in the middle of nowhere, right? You talk about the fact that they don't know if they're going to have a quarterback of the future. Baker.
I need the virtual gong today.
Your commercials will be no more. Because you're not a starter.
Yeah.
Dude got 1,000 commercials, bro. He only got those, he got the commercials. He's a better actor on his commercials than he is a football player.
The Browns are 6-5. Their schedule is tough. They're in a tough division. And they are trending in the wrong way. He's banged up. You want to make excuses? Let somebody else make them for you. But you should, and I'm telling you, it's not your job. You can be what you want. But if you want my advice, when you go to the podium, you have accountability and some humility. He had neither. Coming up, LeBron will be playing at MSG tonight. Is that a good thing for the league? Next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.